Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. The Healing Muse, the award-winning annual literary and visual arts journal from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities, is celebrating its 10th anniversary year. And joining us again this morning is its editor and a regular guest on the show, Dr. Deirdre Nealon, Associate Professor of Bioethics and Humanities. Welcome, Dr. Nealon.
Thanks so much, Linda. I'm very well.
Good. Well, let's remind our listeners who may not be familiar with the Healing Muse, tell us a little bit about the mission.
Okay. The Healing Muse is a journal that is designed to encourage conversations and dialogues between and among all people across the health spectrum. We began it as a way for nurses and physicians to start reflecting on their own practices, but it quickly expanded into a recognition that patients and their caregivers also wanted to be part of that conversation. So now what we have going on, I think, is a very healthy dialogue and conversation with people who have been ill or people who are engaged in diagnosing people who are ill and the people who care and love them through that illness.
So you really are, you've expanded quite a lot, and you have not only the literary written form, but you also have some visual contributions
as
well.
Yes, and thanks for bringing that up, because we are always interested in artists finding us. If you go on our webpage, thehealingmuse.org, we are looking for painters and photographers and people who draw sculptures, anybody who has a story to tell via their art. They could find a home on our pages as well.
Well, that brings me to the point that initially you probably were more in-house in terms of what who was submitting, and now you really have a much wider
breadth. Oh, my goodness, yes. In fact, we just got our first submission. A person from Bosnia found us on the web.
Wow.
So, yes, we are definitely internationally flavored now. But when we began, you're right, we started just within the upstate community. And that's been very nice to find out how many upstate people are interested in writing and doing art. I mean, we have the On My Own Time is going on now in the library, for example, and we see many people who work here at Upstate, the beautiful art that they put out.
What's very interesting to me is that it's a vehicle through which, in a way, by chronicling your experience with healing or disease or suffering or any of that, that there is a healing process in that process.
Yeah, and as we've talked about before, Linda, you know, there's some research coming out that indicates people who do write or reflect about their illness seem to have a better way of coping with it and getting better, so that there are interesting outcomes that are beginning to be measured when we do take the time to write out what's been happening to us.
Yeah, and I think the reader, too, by participating in that process of, you know, kind of dipping into someone's intimate experiences like that, it can be a healing, help their own healing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the same way that support groups have grown up around different illnesses and diseases, and people have discovered that, you know, you're not alone, and that's a wonderful way to feel empowered. The same thing, I think, can happen all by yourself in your room writing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful, wonderful journal. So you brought a few things to talk about with us today. Tell us what you brought.
I thought that for now that we're in the season of spring, we hope we're getting to spring, we could talk about remission. What is it like when you've gone through some kind of illness and you do the treatment that has been prescribed and you are healed? We have this period called you are in remission, and many of our writers write about what that feels like. Is it totally triumphant and affirmative? Yes and no. There's always that little sense of, oh my goodness, I've been brushed by this illness. They're telling me that I'm done with it. Am I really? And so I think when we think about remission, it's really interesting the kinds of feelings it can evoke. And what I've brought you today are two different, very different pieces. One is a poem, one is an essay, but both of them talking about that.
Okay, so are you going to read us the first one, the poem?
Let's start with the poem first. Yes, this is a woman named Letitia Mamarov, and the title of her poem is Remission, and she had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And this is a poem after that experience. Remission. Remission is a temporary perch, a high word for terror. It is true I can see farther up here. There is a breeze and the sun sparks water. In this deliberate dream, there are apples and sinking couches, books and branches woven in protective layers beyond the barbed wire fence hiding the dingy and ashen faces below. A mouth in a white coat is saying words while the troops gather anxiously and wait, hopeful and full of bravado. It is all a big family feud, a struggle for resources. Who has the water, the land? Remiss is a sin, one to be born. The universe having given out a piece of hard leather, DNA on a bone to chew. Atone is to understand the raw nerve underneath, where life is always canceled and crossed. At the end, there is a party to celebrate healing. It is a day just like any other, part hope, part lie.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
That is very powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, so to you, what's your sense of what that's saying?
Well, what I love about poetry is that feeling of compression we get, where in this poem, the speaker is hearing her doctor announce the words that remission. This is a great day. But look at how much, it would take a long time for the doctor to tell you everything that has happened. And in these very few lines, she feels almost like she's in a dream, watching from high above. She's on this perch, this high wire act. And she says it's really scary up there. And she's watching down below herself and her friends and her family hear the words. And the poem ends with a great celebration. There's going to be a party. But there's also that recognition that every day is part hope and part terror. You're never going to be, totally free of the fact that we are temporary beings on this planet.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, is it takes a disease like this or an experience with a disease in a way to underscore that reality where it's a reality for all of us.
Yes.
Exactly. That's, to me, the universal quality to it. Clearly when you've had a life-threatening illness, excuse me, it brings it home much more vividly. But the fact of that we all walk that line,
yes,
so to speak.
Yes, and it's in this poem, as she says, it's like the universe gives out the DNA. It's not planned, it's not ordained, it's just some people get something, some people don't. But what poetry does is let all of us in on what that felt like. And I think that's a marvelous part of being human, that we can share for a moment what it feels like to hear the white coat pronounce the words.
Yeah, and that uncertainty that comes with living.
Yes, that's really right. That's right. Whether we have the diagnosis or not, it's an uncertain thing that we do here on this planet.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, let's hope that from that, there'll be that experience. Maybe there's more of a vibrance or commitment to living life more fully.
I think oftentimes that is what happens. And as she ends her poem, she says there's a party to celebrate, and that is what has done for her. Now, in the other one that I brought you.
And that's called what?
The Limits of Swallows and Seals. And this is by a woman named Judith Hannon. And again, she found us over the web. Her daughter was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma. And I don't know if some of your listeners have read the very wonderful book called The Autobiography of a Face by Lucy Greeley. Lucy Greeley had Ewing sarcoma when she was a child, was diagnosed very young too. But this is going back, say, 30 years. And the difference between what we can do for kids now with this Ewing sarcoma then and now is so mind-boggling. Anyway, in this essay, which we're not going to have time, obviously, to read, I'm only going to read the last few paragraphs of the end of the essay. But what Judith does for us is she's a mother who has always loved nature. Her whole life, she has found in nature the way to embrace life totally. And she talks in this essay how when your child has been diagnosed with this kind of an illness, everything leaves you. You don't care about nature. You couldn't possibly care that spring is coming. Yet what they do, the doctor says it'll be 8 months, and that you go down to Sloan Kettering in this particular essay, and they give the kids a video, and the video shows the little person losing his or her hair during the treatment, but that when the spring comes, everything's growing again. So she says how she's lost this ability to love nature, but she's following it through the season. So the part that I want to read you is when they have come through. They've reached the end of the 8 months. Her daughter is in remission. Her daughter is healed. She goes outside by herself and she sees a nest in Central Park, and a little bird has fallen from it. She's been watching all the birds in the nest, and she's wondering what the mother is going to do. I had no idea what the mother bird would do. In the animal world, isn't it survival of the fittest? The next day, I saw the mother come back often to feed her baby. But the following day, she flew up to the gaping mouth of her fledgling and then started chattering and flitting around as if telling her baby, "It's time now, follow me." And eventually, the little bird did, plummeting more than flying down onto the porch railing. With all of her children together now and strong, the mother resumed her normal repertoire of soft chirps and whistles. Just a year earlier, I would have believed the natural world was trying to teach me a lesson here. Go on, you can return to singing your life by the old melody. I admire the swallow, but I can't be her. For now, my score must begin in a minor key, in a slow tempo with many rests. It will be 3 more years before I can accept a lesson from nature. Nadia has grown taller. Soon I will be looking up to find eyes that censor what they allow me to see. The journal of Nadia's soul will no longer be open to view. It is time for the mother, who measured life only by Nadia's breaths, to go into remission. Fireflies will be my guide. In early July, I walked amidst them as if strolling through stars. As I navigated the dark paths, the fireflies parted to form an enchanted aisle to guide me and a glittering canopy to protect me. I want to call Nadia. The aisle in front of me narrows. There is room for only one person to pass. This event is meant only for me. I surrender to the beauty and prepare to resume my life.
Wow, these are amazing.
Isn't that wonderful?
So touching.
And it's very touching. And I think why I wanted to bring them to you today is because it is showing us this sense of how does life go? How do we reassemble after these amazing events happen? And this woman who all through the essay, she's just resolutely not able to get back to her old life. At the end here, I think, you know, it is going to be okay.
It's interesting because both of them end with a very hopeful note.
Yes.
I mean, even though the first poem said half hope, half lies, there was half hope.
That's right.
In this case, I had that same feeling.
Yes.
That there was hope springs eternal, perhaps.
Yes, totally. And in the second case, you know, she herself has not had the lymphoma. And I think particularly physicians and nurses are always trying to remind us that we treat families. We treat everybody. It's not just
person
who's, you know, sick. So,
yeah, I think the challenge of combating an illness like cancer, you know, those challenges are so great. And it's a test to every patient and to their families to somehow remain positive. Because there are terrors that are present all the time.
There are a lot of terrors. But I think one of the things about our journal is, you know, if you just go through it one piece at a time, you will find in there something that speaks to the experience that you may be having and reassures you that you're not alone and people get through.
I think it also helps us, as you said, it keeps the conversation going. And I think that is an incredible contribution.
Yeah.
To recognize the depth of challenges and the feelings that people experience through that process. It's not just the body, it's the spirit
exactly,
and the mind and
yeah,
the soul.
The mind and the soul, yeah.
Well, Dr. Deirdre Neal, an associate professor of bioethics and humanities and editor of The Healing Muse, thanks again for what you do and what you've given our community and now the world
with this wonderful journal. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, we appreciate your coming and hope you'll come back real soon once again.
I promise I will.
Well, we have to take a short break. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio, 106.9 570 WSYR.